Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Thursday, December 11th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. If you love a good romance novel, a Visalia author has something just for you.
Once I started writing and just giving into what I loved, which was love stories, it came so naturally to me, and it was just such a joy to write.
We'll speak with author Rebecca Jo Jackson about the latest book in her romance series. But first, these headlines. A federal judge says the Trump administration overstepped its authority by sending over 4,000 National Guard troops to Los Angeles this past summer. Judge Charles Breyer ordered the administration to turn over control of the troops back to the state. The ruling is on hold until Monday to allow time for a possible appeal. The state argued that conditions on the ground have changed since the summer and that the troops are no longer needed. The judge agreed, saying the administration's justification, quote, defied common sense. The Trump administration is adding another militarized zone to the southern U.S. border, this time in California. The Department of the Interior said on Wednesday that the Navy would be taking control of most of California's international border with Mexico. Since April, U.S. troops have been called in to apprehend immigrants and others accused of trespassing into the U.S. Hundreds of millions of dollars to address homelessness in California is in limbo after the Trump administration reversed course on a major funding program, at least for now. Erin Baldessari with our newsroom partner KQED reports.
For the past two decades, the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development has prioritized funding permanent housing. But that changed last month after HUD said it would emphasize encampment sweeps and placing people in temporary housing. Two separate lawsuits from California Attorney General Rob Bonta and Santa Clara and San Francisco counties argued the policy violates federal laws. In response, HUD pulled the new requirements shortly before lawyers were due in court. Ryan Finnegan is a homelessness researcher with UC Berkeley and says the sudden changes are hard on the people who rely on the funding to stay housed.
That combination of not knowing where we're going and it being so sudden, that is giving everybody whiplash.
California has some 96,000 housing units for people who were formerly homeless, of which about a third are funded through this federal program. HUD said it would issue new guidelines in the coming weeks.
That was Erin Baldessari with our news partner KQED. Private childcare providers in California say their enrollment is down since universal transitional kindergarten was implemented statewide this past fall. Four-year-olds in California are eligible for TK free of cost. Aide Jamie, a childcare provider in Kern County, traveled to Sacramento Tuesday to ask lawmakers for more funding. She says losing children to TK has impacted her financial situation, and she hopes the state can provide vouchers to boost enrollment.
I'm out there looking, passing out flyers and stuff, but I have to budget myself to less than what my spendings were. I mean, we have to see how are we going to make our food last a little bit longer, and not only for my family, like I said before, but it's for the daycare.
State Assembly members made affordability a top issue last session. This week's informational hearing on child care costs was part of a series of affordability hearings. Residents in Porterville are pushing the city council to use general funds to support a new library. An online petition asks the city to help fill a funding gap for the project. It's reached nearly 800 signatures. The Porterville Library was destroyed in a 2020 fire, and two firefighters were also killed in the fire. The residents are specifically asking the city to prioritize funding for the library instead of a war-themed playground and monument.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from Fresno Mazda, featuring 2025 models engineered to emphasize safety and adapt to all road and weather conditions during the holiday season. More information and the Mazda digital showroom available at myfresnomazda.com.
And now to our main story. It's cozy season, which means it is the perfect time of year to curl up with a good book, maybe a romance. That is certainly the preferred genre for Rebecca Jo Jackson. Rebecca's a local author from Visalia who enjoys not only reading romance novels, but writing them. She recently released her latest book titled Olivia's Only Pretending as the third part of her Sweet River series. I recently caught up with Rebecca to find out what inspires her small town romance writing and how the popularity of book communities on social media has influenced her work. Rebecca starts our conversation by explaining what initially drew her to the romance genre.
Well, I've always been drawn to stories that had a really good romance element to it. But really, I started writing it myself after I had my first daughter. The postpartum time, I was just looking for comfort and like a place for solace. And I just found it in the pages of romance novels and love stories. And it was just this comfort to me. You had the promised happy ending every single time. And then after I had her, when I had my second daughter, is when I started writing my own, the first book in my series, It Couldn't Be You. Yeah, and I had spent a long time trying to write other kinds of stories, but once I started writing and just giving into what I loved, which was love stories, it came so naturally to me. And it was just such a joy to write, just as fun as it is to read it.
Yeah, and what was that like going from like a consumer of these stories to then trying to, you know, portray your own characters and write your own story? Was that cathartic? Was it challenging? What was it like?
It was definitely cathartic. It felt really natural and it felt really fun. Like I should have been writing stories like that the whole time.
Okay, today we're going to discuss your newest book, Olivia's Only Pretending, which is a catchy title, and it's actually part 3 in your Sweet River series. So why don't you tell listeners who maybe haven't read the book just a little bit about what it's about and maybe answer that question, which is, what is Olivia pretending to do?
Well, so Olivia first appears in my second book, Lucy Loves Him Not. She's the eldest sister, the Rhodes sisters, who each get their own story. And she's a professor at a local college. And her ex-boyfriend shows up as a guest lecturer. And so her best friend, who he's younger than her, he's not, in her mind, he's not the right guy for her, decides to help her get through a bunch of the seminars and having her ex-boyfriend on campus by fake dating with her. So that's what she's pretending, that she's pretending that they're together to kind of put on like a ruse to make life easier for her. But really, as you read on, you realize she's just been pretending that he's not the right guy for her.
So you live in Tulare County, but Olivia's Only Pretending is actually set in the fictionalized town of Sweet River, Texas. So what made you want to set the story there?
I actually grew up in Texas in a small town. And so I felt like I knew it really well, that I knew how the weather worked. I knew what a small town life in Texas is like. And so it just felt right to set my first series there.
And how much does where your series and your stories are set sort of like influence how you write? Because especially I feel like with romance novels or sort of small town romance sort of stories, the place where these interactions happen, it kind of becomes a character of its own, right?
Oh, definitely. It definitely becomes a character of its own.
So, go ahead, please.
Oh, the local residents, the little like diners and restaurants and marketplaces, all those things you put into the city become something that the readers look forward to in all of the books.
Yeah, it's really a different experience to read a small town sort of novel versus a more urban story where there's a cityscape, and it's definitely a different tone. So I'm curious who your audience is. Who are you writing for?
Honestly, my book is for anyone who is just looking for a little like comfort and love, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's for anybody. I have a lot of readers who are typically women from teenage age to like older women. I have all ages. It is typically women who I'm writing it for and who tend to pick up my book and interact with me a lot online.
You know, speaking of online, Rebecca, I know that romance and fantasy are two genres that just really blew up online during the pandemic, with BookTok and Bookstagram becoming really popular. And for people who might not know, that's sort of a niche section of the internet on TikTok and Instagram where readers collect books, talk about them, rank them, all sorts of things.
Yeah,
I'm sure you're very familiar. I'm curious how these sort of book influencers who have a lot of sway these days, like, how do they affect your work or your interest in writing?
They definitely affect me as a consumer and as an author. They are a huge part of marketing. They are such, like, fervent readers. They give me so, like, they're a big part of my sales. I love their reviews, help sell books. They promote you. They encourage you. It's just so much fun to be a part of as well. It helps authors connect with each other. And I have readers all across the U.S., all across the world, and I get to connect with other authors as well that way. It's really great.
I want to pivot back to the book a little bit because you have some modern elements there. There's a set list of songs you listen to while writing the book that kind of sets the vibe of the characters, and readers can even find that playlist on Spotify and listen along, which is really cool. There's also like a text message exchange in the beginning between the characters. It looks like a phone, and I've occasionally seen elements like this before, but what made you want to use them in your book?
Well, one thing I like for my books is I want people to completely be able to disappear into it and feel like they are in Olivia's shoes, like mm-hmm. It's fully immersive. So I love putting the text messages. I tend to put them at almost every chapter. I love putting a playlist to set the scene. And that's a really fun part of being an indie author, is that I can put all of these different elements in there. Then it kind of becomes a part of my voice that my readers can expect, that I'm going to give them a really great playlist. They're going to have really fun text messages and little elements like that weaved in.
Yeah, it makes it more than just, you know, reading chapters. It sort of becomes more of an experience. As you mentioned, you're an indie author and you've had a lot of positive feedback online about your writing, but not being associated with a major publisher, what's that been like? And what's it been like to have this success without being tied to a company? What's that process like?
Well, I can't really, I've never been with a traditional publisher, so I don't know how it would be comparatively. I've really enjoyed it. I love that I get to call the shots. I make my own schedule. Mm-hmm. I can choose how often I want to publish. I came into this with a vision for the Sweet River series. And so I got to start from book one and create it all on my own timeline. It is harder because I kind of have to act as my own little publishing business. I have to hire my own people to like do copy edits, proofread, find my own ARC readers, have my own PA to help manage everything. So I'm kind of my own little publishing business, but I really like it. I like calling the shots. I like having the control of it.
So being a few books in, I believe next year you have another book coming out. So what can readers expect from you next? And sort of what's your long-term outlook for your writing?
Well, so next will be Gracie's book. She's the youngest Rhodes sister. So she's going to get her story. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on it right now, and it's been so much fun. I feel like she's been peppered into the other stories. So in the back of my mind, her story's already been developing a lot. So you can expect her story to come out next year, probably in the summer. And I'll have a few more Sweet River books. And then I'm working on another series that will be set here in California.
Rebecca Jo Jackson, author of the new book, Olivia's Only Pretending. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me on and wanting to talk about my books. I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much.
And if you would like to buy one of Rebecca's books, you can go to her website, RebeccaJoJackson.com. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. You can find the latest local news anytime at KVPR.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.